Amen. Our text this morning, you'll find in the early part of verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, just those words where it says, "And be ye separate, saith the Lord." Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Highlighting the importance of separation for God's people. And Gypsy Smith, that great evangelist of a bygone day, spoke to God's people. And he said, "If ye are in with God, you are out with the world." Again, speaking upon the same great topic, Bishop Ryle, that great Protestant bishop of a bygone day, said to God's people, "We must dare to be peculiar," in other words, different from the world. And again, the hymn writer was taken up with that same thought when they penned that great hymn that is in our own hymn book and said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name." And the Bible makes it very clear that God's people and their testimony is to be marked by separation. This is the teaching of the Word of God. Whenever ancient Israel were to enter into the promised land, God gave them specific instruction regarding this matter. And in regard to the relationship with the heathen nations round about them. And God said, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them." In other words, there was to be separation between God's ancient people and from the heathen nations that were gathered round about them. Again, you think of what it says about God's people in the day of Nehemiah. It says, "The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers." There was that separation from the ways of the ungodly around them. Again, you think of the words of Christ to his own people in John's Gospel chapter 15. He says, "I have chosen you out of the world." In other words, the Lord has called his people out of the world, away from the world. Again, you think of the words of Christ as he speaks of his own people to his heavenly Father. In that great prayer of John 17, he speaks there to his Father about his people, and this is what he says about his people. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And there again, Christ makes it very plain, very clear, that there is to be separation between his people and the ungodly in the world around them. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And dear people, this morning, we find the same great call to separation in the words of our text this morning. Just look at that verse in its entirety. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Notice those words where it says, "And be ye separate, saith the Lord." As Paul the Apostle speaks these words, he is writing here in context to the Corinthian church, because this church in particular had become a worldly church. The spirit of this ungodly world had crept into this church. And how did that spirit manifest itself? It manifested itself with division amongst them. There were those in the Corinthian church who followed Peter. Some followed Paul. Some followed Apollos. It also manifested itself with immorality. There was things going on amongst the believers in that church that not even were named amongst the ungodly. And that worldly spirit also manifested itself with idolatry. And there were those in that church, and they put up other people and other things between them and God. And anything that the Christian puts between them and God is an idol, whatever that is. And then there was also drunkenness and disrespect and irreverence at the table of the Lord. And to address this situation, Paul here reminds the believers at Corinth that God had called them to be a people who were separate from the world, a people who were distinct from the evil ways of this world. He reminds them that God had called them to be a holy people, a peculiar people unto the Lord. And dear people, this morning, can I say this call from God to separation is something that applies to all of us who are saved even this morning. Brethren and sisters in Christ, if our testimony as individual Christians and if our testimony as a church is to honor the Lord in this community here of Market Hill where the Lord has placed us, then our witnesses, God's people, must be marked by separation. This is something that God calls you and I to as individual believers and as a church and as a congregation. If our witness is to exalt our Savior, we must heed this call to separation. As we would then consider this vital matter of separation from the Scriptures, there are four things I want us to note simply and plainly this morning. Notice first of all here the meaning of separation. You look at what our text says. It says, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord." And there you see from our text that this call to separation, it comes from the Lord Himself. And surely that shows us the importance of this call to separation. My, if the God of heaven, if He commands His people to do something or not to do something, you can be sure that that command is vitally important. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this call here to be separate is something of tremendous worth, tremendous value. Because it is from God Himself. Look at our text. It says, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord." This is not man's command. This is not the minister's command. This is not the command of the church or church tradition. No matter how orthodox the church might be, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And people, there is no higher authority than the authority of the Lord Himself. You think of that word separate there as you find it in verse number 17. It literally means to divide or to sever. That's what the word means. And the thought here is that there is to be a division, there is to be a severance between the Lord's people and the ungodly. In the day of judgment, think of what will happen. God will divide His people from the unsaved, from those who are not His people. And the saved will be gathered into heaven, and the unsaved will be cast into hell, into outer darkness. The Bible speaks of that day and says, "Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." The sheep who are saved will hear that blessed call from the lips of Christ. "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." But the goats, the unsaved, will hear that most awful of sentences from the lips of Christ. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Unsaved friend, in our meeting this morning, let me just stop here and pause for a moment. There's a warning there for you, is there not, in the gospel? Dear friend, if you die unsaved and you come before the Lord unsaved in the day of judgment, then everlasting hell, everlasting judgment and punishment in the flames of hell will be your portion for all of eternity. If you're found on that day of judgment unsaved out of Christ, or if you are to be saved from that awful judgment, then now in time you must repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him, embrace Him as your Savior, rest upon His sacrifice alone for the saving of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." Yes, friends, in eternity, the saved and the unsaved will be divided. And can I say this morning upon the authority of God's word and life also? It is the will of God that the life of all of us who are saved be different and be separate from the evil ways of this ungodly world. You remember what the Bible says about Christ in Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse number 26. It says there that Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled. And then it says this, that he was separate from sinners. Christ was separate from sinners. And dear people of God, our life is to be like Christ. And if our life is to be like Christ, then our testimony surely must be marked by separation. Our life also must be separate from the ways, the schemes of this ungodly world. Can I say this morning that this matter of separation does not mean as Christians we're to be harsh or hard-hearted or unloving even toward our neighbor? Continually throughout the Word of God, God calls us people to love their neighbor. We're to love our neighbors, be they rich, be they poor, be they Protestant, be they Roman Catholic, be they black, be they white, whatever their nationality, whatever their background is. It does not mean as Christians that we are to be antisocial from the rest of the world. We are to have a love for others. We are to do good to others. Think of God. The Bible describes God as a God of love. The Bible speaks of God and says, God so loved the world, he loved sinners like you and I so much, he sent his Son, his Savior, to die on the cross for us at Calvary. But what this matter of separation means, it means that our life as Christians is not to be controlled by the Spirit and the ways of this ungodly world. It is not to be controlled by the mind of the world, the fashions, the ways of this ungodly world. Rather, our lives are to obey God, honor His Word, His ways. You turn over there to Psalm 119 and the verse number 115. Look at the words there of the psalmist. He says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers." He says, "For I will keep the commandments of my God." There was a desire to turn away from the evil ways of the world. But with that, there was also a desire, he says, in verse 115, "I will keep the commandments of my God." And that's what it means, dear people, to be separate. It means a turning away from the spirit of this world, not to be controlled or ruled or governed by the evil ways of this world as Christians, but rather to turn to God and to honor His Word and to obey His truth. Yes, we see the meaning of separation. But notice, secondly, this morning, the pathway of separation. What is the pathway of separation for the Christian? The Bible makes it very clear that marriage between a believer and an unbeliever is forbidden by the Word of God. Just look at what Paul said there in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." My dear Christian, when you're saved, you are to marry only in the Lord. The Christian is only to marry another lifelong partner that is saved by the grace of God. The Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And it is contrary to the Word of God, the will of God, for a saved person to marry a non-saved person. We can say further here regarding the pathway of separation that as God's people we are to separate from all unrighteousness. Look at what Paul goes on there to say in the middle of verse number 14. He says, "For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness?" And my, as Christians, we must be careful about our social relationships, maybe social partnerships with unbelievers. We've got to be careful about those relationships, maybe in business or work or with some other social activity that we're involved in. Can I say that if that partnership should lead us to unrighteousness as Christians and lead us into sin, then it is something we should avoid. It is something we should have nothing to do with as God's people. Also, as believers, my, we're called upon by God to separate from all the works of darkness. Look at what Paul goes on to say at the end of verse 14 and the beginning of verse 15, he says, "And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial?" Dear Christian, you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and by the light of Christ himself, who is the light of the world. Therefore, we are to stay apart from all that is of the devil and all that is of the works of darkness. Remember what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You and I as Christians are to have nothing to do with the works of darkness, those things that are associated with Satan and the works of the evil one. Also, as God's people, my, we're called upon by God to separate from all kinds of religious worship that denies God's word, and that is contrary to God's word. Look at what Paul goes on to say there in verse 15, in the beginning of verse 16. He says, "Or what part of he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols?" Here he is emphasizing the point that God's people are to be separate from all kinds of religious worship that is not of God, that is contrary to God's word, or against God's word. You remember the counsel of Paul to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He speaks to him there about false teachers. And he describes them as men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And what did Paul say to Timothy regarding such? He said, "And from such withdraw thyself." In other words, Timothy, stay away. Separate yourself from them. Turning your Bible over as well to 2 John. That little epistle of John just before the book of Jude, 2 John. Look at the counsel here of John to God's people, regarding those who would deny the word of God, those whose teaching and their religious practices is contrary to the scriptures. Look at the counsel of John and to God's people regarding such. In the second epistle of John, verses 9, 10, and 11, he says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ," in other words, the teachings of God's word, he says, "hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," in other words, who do not hold to what the Bible teaches and proclaims, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." And there John warns God's people to have no fellowship or worship with those who deny the word of God, those who reject the great fundamentals of the faith and the great teachings of God's word. And dear people, this morning, here we see very clearly why as Christians you and I are to have nothing to do with the false worship of Roman Catholicism, because it's all of the spirit of Antichrist. It's all against God. We are to have nothing to do with the false teachings of Islam. It too is of the Antichrist. And all the cults, if you care to name them. And not only them, but liberal Protestant ministers or teachers who reject and deny the fundamentals of God's word, the great truths of the scriptures. We are called upon by God to separate ourselves from such. That's the teaching of God's word. Those again who may seek to propagate much of contemporary worship today that is contrary to the word of God and the teachings of Christ, we are to separate ourselves from as the people of God. My, whatever that teaching is, dear Christian, religious teaching that is contrary to the word of God, that which the devil would use to overthrow your faith in Christ and in the gospel, the Lord says, "Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing." Also, as God's people, let me say also today that we must separate from all forms of sin and immorality. Look at what Paul goes on to say to these Christians in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Just look at his counsel toward them. He says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The Bible says to the Christian, "Be ye holy, in all manner of conversation. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this applies to our lives as believers. Believer, you and I must be very careful in this age in which we live about what we read in the newspapers. We must be very careful what we watch on television, what we view on the computer screen, what we listen to on the radio. The Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Child of God, you and I must turn away from anything that would lead us into sin as God's people. Anything that the devil would use to destroy our testimony and our witness for Christ. My, that is why the public house, the disco, the nightclub and so forth is no place for the Christian to be found. That is why the bookmakers is no place for the Christian. Or the doing of the national lottery is nothing for the Christian. It's something the Christian should not do or be involved in. There are many things we can apply this to. But the reason why I emphasize it today, because we're living in an age when many profess the name of Christ, but there is no difference between their life, their practices, and the ways of the world, and the ways of the ungodly. We could add many more things to that list, but also let me say this, as Christians we must separate from anything that harms our body, be it physically, or mentally, or emotionally. Turn back there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at what Paul says there about the Christian. He says, what, you know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And as Christians, we should say no to alcoholic drink and strong drink. We should say no to drugs, illegal drugs that aren't for our benefit of our health. We should say no to tobacco. These things that harm our bodies, that are the temples of God, the Holy Ghost. The Christian is to say no to these things. And also as believers, we're to separate from anything that would cause our weaker brother or sister in Christ to stumble or to fall. Look at what Paul says to God's people there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and the verse 13. He says, wherefore of meat make my brother to offend. And he was dealing here in context with the partaking of meats that were used in idolatry in ancient times, but the principle applies for us today. It says, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend or to stumble. We are to be careful, Christians, by our life, by our actions, lest we cause a weaker brother or sister in Christ to stumble and fall. How our testimony is so important. The pathway to separation, the meaning of separation. Notice something else here in connection with our text this morning. Notice the consequence of disregarding God's call to separation. Can the believer discount God's call to separation? Can the believer say that separation does not matter, it is of no value? Well, in answering that question, remember what James says to God's people in James 5, verse 17. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Child of God, if you and I willfully reject God's call to separation, then we willfully sin against the knowledge and the light of God's word and God's truth. And people, the scriptures are full of warnings. They're full of examples of the high price that is to be paid for those who heed not God's call to separation. There are many examples I could take you to in the scriptures. I'll just mention one this morning, and that is Samson. Samson was a godly man. He knew great blessing, great strength as a believer in Christ, yet he broke his vow as a Nazarite. In other words, he broke down the walls of separation in his life as a believer. The Bible says he lost his vision. He lost his power. My, he was taken a prisoner by his enemies, the Philistines, and my, he was mocked. And the Bible speaks of Samson and says, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He lost the blessing of God upon his life. That's why separation is so important. You think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Dear Christian, dear believer in Christ this morning, let me emphasize this. You and I, we disregard God's call to separation to our peril, to our spiritual peril. We disregard it. It will bring peril into our lives, into our testimony as God's people. Notice one final thought just in connection with our text. Notice the blessing of separation. Notice the Lord's promise there at the end of verse 17 and verse 18. He says, "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And those words really speak of the Lord owning and the Lord blessing his people in a very signal and definite manner who heed the Lord's call into separation. The Lord promises in his word, "Does he not them that honor me, I will honor." Notice that promise. He says, "I will be a father unto you." And being a father unto us, the Lord will protect us. He'll provide for us. He'll bless us. And if he sees fit, he will use us for his honor and for his glory. That's the Lord's promise to all who heed the Lord's call to separation. You think of Moses this morning. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Just look at the example of Moses. And you'll see that Moses, as a young man, was faced with a great choice. On one hand, there was the court of Pharaoh, all the riches, all the wealth of Pharaoh, all the power of Pharaoh. That was on the one hand. On the other hand, there was the reproach of Christ, the affliction of God's people, the cause of the Lord. Which path did Moses choose? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 27. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith," notice it, "he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible." He chose Christ. He chose the reproach of Christ, the affliction of God's people, to all the riches and all the power and all the esteem of Egypt. Remember, he was reared as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. The whole empire of Pharaoh and of Egypt lay really at the feet of Moses. It was his for the taking. But he turned his back upon it. He cast in his lot with Christ and with the people of God. And God took him up and blessed him. God took him up and used him for God's honor and God's glory. Dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're just recently converted or been saved a long time, I encourage you, I exhort you today by God's grace, follow the example of Moses. The Bible speaks of God's people and speaks of Christ, and it says, "Let us go forth unto him without the camp." We are to separate ourselves unto the Lord, unto Christ, unto fellowship with the Lord, unto obeying God's word, God's will, living for Christ. Dear child of God, when you seek to own the Lord and honor the Lord is no man's debtor. The Lord will bless you. And the Lord will use you for his honor and glory. And this is where God wants us to be as a congregation in this part of God's vineyard and Market Hill. A people who seek to honor the Lord, honor his word. That's the only thing, dear people, that's important in our work and in our witness for Christ, our Savior. We're going to close our meeting this morning.